just a little bit about how it was growing up.
Grew up, all I know is going to see Shiva. That's all I know. From 9 o'clock till 7. We had 9 to 3 Hebrew studies. 3 to 4, we had an hour for recess. We had 4 to 7 was secular study.
And do you remember much about, chances are there was no money at all during those days.
No.
Do you remember anything about that? Or did it bother you? Did you really know any different?
Oh, I knew there was no money. And it was really rough.
And you knew there was no money.
And it sure did. When I was bar mitzvah, we didn't have a party. Only on Sunday, we had a couple of uncles, and that was it. That was my bar mitzvah. And I didn't have anybody teach me my bar mitzvah. I couldn't do it myself. In fact, when I was 13, I was teaching the other kids bar mitzvah. So this teaching bar mitzvah is
something new.
Something brand new.
It came it was only natural. But it was really rough. We had a rough time. But I wasn't the only one. I remember I used to be religious all the time. I used to go to shul. And I remember, I lived about a block away from Williamsburg, Farmer Street Shul, Big Shul. They used to be bar mitzvahs there, Mondays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. Torah reading days.
Torah reading days. People couldn't afford to have a party. They went to shul one day, kid had an aliyah. And they brought little schnapps and kichel, and that was there, and the whole thing. And that went on all the time. Because having a bar mitzvah, you had to hire somebody to teach the kid. I mean, it didn't need that for me, but and then they had to do a shul, you had to pay the shul, you had to pay this, you had to a kiddush afterwards, you had to watch the entire congregation, and mm-hmm. it ran into a few hundred bucks. And that time, a few hundred dollars was a lot of money. And it was really rough going for a lot of people. The impression I was missing in 1933. And that was really, really like the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember anything about anti-Semitism, do you?
No,
was there nothing? It was all a Jewish community.
Well, it was a Yeshiva on the city.
And you went to, where did you go to high school?
Let me tell you something. I want to bring something in. What I did here in Pittsburgh. This is all true. What I feel I've accomplished.
Good.
In my staying in Pittsburgh. And this could be for the record. About 15 years ago, I know a nice young lady. I made a little fun from the shul. And I see, at that time, when it was during the summer months, July, August, we went down to Keystone Park. You ever go to Keystone Park?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so went swimming. Spent an afternoon there. I look around, I see this young lady. I said, hello. All right. About a week later, I meet her. I said, what's this? What could I do? There's no Jewish fellas. You can't meet any Jewish boys in Pittsburgh. I said, what do you mean you can't meet any? What they have to do? Why? JCC, they have dances, they have affairs, and mm-hmm. it's dead. No place to meet Jewish boys. I would like to go to a Jewish guy. I'd rather marry a Jewish boy than a shaver. I don't know where to meet him. I started inquiring, is it true what she said? I found out what she said. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
The So I didn't have too much going for 6 months. So, something has to be done. This is terrible. Something in the marriage. I got a hold of one guy in a big shop with Jason Steen. I told him, I said, look, do something. You have to sponsor something. Get a man. Why don't they get a man? And it should be his obligation to arrange affairs for
Jewish
young
people.
Sure. Yeah. You go for it. Now they wouldn't go for it. I never spent like half a million. I said, I want you to, and then I was after it. And this guy was a big contributor, just in the tens of thousands of dollars. Finally, he went to them. Ah. So, what do you do? I got another guy who's a big shot there. I'm trying to get him. Then, I'm sure there was a man that used to come by the name of Joe Elias. You know Joe Elias?
Yeah.
Joe Elias, the philanthropist. So, I'm talking to him. He says, you know Joe, I said, give so much money. He told me, I'm big figures. I said, I want you to do something. I said, I had an idea. I said, I'll do something to get young people in there. And there's no way. I want to get the shul Bet Shalom to sponsor a dance. I mean, in their building. Mm-hmm. We'll sponsor it, but in their building, and I need a band, need money for publicity. It might run $1,000. And I want to feed them. Come there, I want to help you. Freshmen, run about that. And I talked to him, this was in December, I said, so we'll have it in February. Let's see, I'll give it a little time.
This was 15 years ago.
This was about 11 years ago.
11 years ago.
During the 15, that was 15 years, but
I'm in
China.
In between.
Yeah,
it took you all those years to get it accomplished.
To get things going, I tried to work with the JCC, and I tried to get this and that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting anywhere. And finally, I got a hold of this guy, and he says, look, Joe, I need $1,000. We're going to have a dance in February. What if we have a snowstorm? Nobody show up. You have to pay for it. He said, okay, I'll give you all the money you need.
Wonderful.
So I got a hold of a guy, his name is Mauro. He was single at that time. He was divorced, he was single. So we talked about it, we got a band, we got publicity, we had about 175 people.
A lot of people.
The next time, we lost money on it, because...
You don't expect to make money on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we gave them egg salad and tuna fish salad, you know, because we want them to come.
Right.
A nice spread, so they should come back.
Right.
Second time again, the second time we had up 200, 50, 300, at one time we were close to 400. So lately it's been going down. But this is the way it started.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have our singles. I still go when I have a dance, I still go down there every once in a while to make see how things are. Because I feel it's my responsibility, because I've got it organized, and I'm going. And this is one of the things I'm very happy with my accomplishments in Pittsburgh. That we've had close to over 60 weddings that we know of as a result of that. And it makes me feel good. In fact, the Mr. Pilch, you know Pilch, who's the executive director, met his wife. I have a good feeling.
Good.
I have accomplished something. A big part of the Jewish single. So this is for posterity.
Right.
And this,
that's important.
But everything else you got there, I don't care. But that doesn't mean anything. But this means a lot to me. And the fact that we had Friday night services at one time, like for the singles. Granted, once a month. But actually, I didn't give it the time that I should have. I mean, I didn't have the time. I had a full-time job at Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to give, you know, good sermons and this and that. And on a once-a-month basis is no good. I should have been on a weekly
mm-hmm.
basis. And anyway, so right now, there's still one, they have services once a month that he conducts, Rabbi
mm-hmm.
Steindl.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, well, all right. So this is what I feel I have accomplished in the city of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We have now the singles going,
mm-hmm.
and many, many weddings,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of happy people. And in fact, several years ago, they knew I started this thing going, and two people met, and they sent me an invitation to the wedding.
That's nice.
And
that's very nice.
As a result of this, also, we have a new Rosh Hashanah Kippur, we have services for singers.
Mm-hmm.
I recall reading about that and being very impressed. I didn't know how it had come about.
So this is an offshoot of
the whole program.
Mm-hmm. So I feel
elated.
I feel that this, if anything in my being in Pittsburgh, and I was able to accomplish this,
mm-hmm. it's tremendous.
Then my being in Pittsburgh
was well
worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, forget about it, I don't care. But this thing, if you want to know, the history of the posterity.
Right.
How these singles came about, and
mm-hmm.
the children had to dance, and the whole little history mm-hmm. that it's giving me, this is how it started.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the essence.
This is the essence,
really. We still would like to know a little bit more about you, because you're a very interesting guy.
I'm not interested.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Nothing.
Yes, you are.
Well, I taught bar mitzvahs for 26 years at Beit Shalom, and I just want to tell you, I have thousands and thousands and thousands of appointments with kids.
Mm-hmm.
I found, you know, only twice was I late to an appointment.
That's a record.
Once, I went to the hospital to visit, and I got stuck in traffic. It took me 40 minutes to get back to shul from Anafia Hospital. So I was late about 10 minutes. Another time, the kid changed his appointment. It was supposed to be there 4 o'clock, and he said he could be there 3:30, and I forgot about it. So I went there 3:30.
Yeah, 4.
Okay, so in all thousands and thousands of appointments, it's only twice. When I used to be, after Lehman died, when I came to Beit Shalom, I wasn't the ritual director. When he died, I took over the ritual director. I was never late in all the services, every single day, for 11 years, over 11 years, I lived to the director.
So with you, there's no such thing as Jewish time.
There's no such thing as Jewish time. I hate when people are late. I believe when you have a job, you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
I taught bar mitzvahs, close to 800 kids, and everybody was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to some of the bar mitzvahs while you were there.
There was no kid that was
mm-hmm.
bad.
Mm-hmm.
Every kid got up there, was sure of himself, did well. They were all happy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, after I retired, they had fellow took my job, his name was Baruch, and he had a bypass, heart surgery. And so he asked me to help out, which I did. Anyway, then he left. Hey, we need somebody to help out coming back. We'll give you anything, whatever you want. We'll give you a pension, we'll give you an increase in your salary. And then I left with a good name. Everybody was happy. Parents, oh, I got a kid coming up next year. What am I going to do? You're not going to teach you. So this is how I believe a job. This is the way my father was.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to shul, he was the first one there. Well, he went to work, he was the first one there.
Conscientious.
And my father worked in a big place. There's hundreds of people. The boss used to say, there's only one person in this place that I can trust, and that's Aaron Squaw.
That's wonderful. Have kids changed much since you've been tutoring them for bar mitzvah? Have the kids themselves changed in their attitude toward Judaism,
religion.
Or religion, or the world even?
Kids change. Their attitudes.
Their outlook.
Actually, at 13, I don't think they've formed any definite attitude towards life. All they're interested is in being bar mitzvah, getting the presents, and having a nice affair, and that's it. I remember one kid, this is in Oil City, I was teaching him his bar mitzvah, and he was a hardliner. He was a tough kid to teach. And I was drumming it and drumming the half Torah into his little brain. He said, what do I need this for? He says to me one day. Well, he says, I'm not going to make a living out of it. A lot of kids, bar mitzvah means one thing. Presents, more presents, more presents, a good time, it's a party. And this is just the way they look at it. And to form attitudes is philosophical attitudes.
They're a little too young. What, if you had something, I guess I could perhaps interpret the singles as your real feeling of achievement, of accomplishment. But apart from that, what did you really like best at doing at Beth Shalom? What appealed to you the most? What did you feel happiest about? What about your experiences that really made you the happiest? Or was it just a combination of them?
Closes for me.
It doesn't play now. If we don't talk, it doesn't play.
That's why I want to talk. I'm going to tell you something.
Oh,
I forget about that. well, doing the job, doing religious work, and being affiliated with the synagogue, and teaching kids to be Jewish. Now, there's one more thing I should say. When I taught kids bar mitzvah, today teaching bar mitzvah is like a factory.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher, that's it. With me, it wasn't that way. I taught kids bar mitzvah. And when I had a chance to indoctrinate this kid a little bit religion, I'd do it. A lot of people wouldn't do it. Because, first of all, it takes up time.
Right.
You're out there to teach this kid, mm-hmm. and learn it and out. This would be on my time. Because this kid had to learn Torah. And it takes so much time. And here I'm taking up 10-15 minutes and said, look, you should be a little more religious, you should do this, you should do that. Nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to influence these kids I taught on this. Give them a little religion. Tell them about Jesus. And a lot of these kids appreciate it. And here's another thing I've done. Nobody does. When a kid came to a bar mitzvah lesson, he had to put on his tefillin. Every kid that came to a bar mitzvah lesson had to put on his tefillin. I try to tell people to do it. And they come, hey, out, in and out, and that's it. Some kids would protest, hey, I don't know, I'm bar mitzvah. I said, this is part of your bar mitzvah. You put on your tefillin, fine, you want to put your tefillin, out. So, when you come, put on your tefillin. In fact, I had one kid, I had a mother tell me, you know, my kid puts on his tefillin. I said, what? This kid, if anybody, I would think he would have discarded.
Right.
He says, yeah, you had a big influence on me. I had a couple of parents tell me that.
That's beautiful.
So I feel my work has not been in vain. Mm-hmm. I try to teach religion, make these kids interested in film. They know how to put on a lot of kids. They still not put on film. I met a couple of kids at the time when it was not, at the mourner's house. They put on the film.
That's a good film.
So this is my accomplishments at Pittsburgh, at Sean.
What are you doing in your retirement now?
What I'm doing in my retirement. I used to subscribe to a lot of papers. And see that?
Oh, yeah.
This is just pot. But I had boxes that I didn't read. I'm getting rid of it. I go on a lot of vacation. I've been traveling since I retired. I've been to Israel, I've been to Florida, I've been a couple of times to New York, and if I hadn't been sick, I was thinking of going to Florida, and after the holidays, I'm going to Florida for a month. I mean, I'm doing traveling. I'm going to Beth Shalom. I think Beth Shalom to Kollel.
Yeah.
Study Talmud. Mm-hmm. The Talmud course.
That's wonderful.
But I haven't been there for the last 3 weeks because I've been sitting there longer. But you know, maybe tonight the first time.
What is your connection with Paul Zadig?
Two blocks down.
Mm-hmm.
I go down at the Davna Friday nights.
Okay, I just had some notes about Paul Zadig, and I just wondered whether you were.
No, I have no affiliation.
No affiliation.
No congregation. Mm-hmm. I go to Paul Zadig on Friday nights to Davna. It's two blocks away.
Right.
So I go there to Davna, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And during the week, I've never been there. Saturday morning, I've been a couple of times because there was a lufruf, a bar mitzvah, and I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been there, but otherwise, I have nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you involved in any particular Jewish or community institutions, or just an overall view? It's really pretty hard. Over the years, you've been so involved in what you've been doing.
I had a 7-day job, 7-day a week job. When I first came, it was teach bar mitzvahs, read the Torah, and like into daven Friday night services, because as I studied cantoria music and voice. So that's why I used to go away for the holidays to daven, because I'm
sure.
I had to say in Yiddish, a shtickle chazen.
Yeah.
Shtickle chazen. Okay. So, but then when Lehman died, he used to be the ritual director. So they said, well, and I wasn't making too much money at Shalom.
You were not.
Making very little. And so they offered me this job, this additional income. So, all right. So then I take care of the services, morning and evening, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a full-time, it was actually full-time, which you had to get up early in the morning for minions, 6 o'clock in the
evening,
a lot of times things, on Sunday that you want to go somewhere, you want to have a minion, I take care of the shul, you want to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
As I told you, if I have a job, if I have a responsibility,
you're there.
I'm there.
How did it affect your home life with your daughters? You had to sneak in time with your daughters and your wife because you were so busy.
Well, my daughters had their life. My wife wasn't too happy a lot of times, you know, stuck. But, I mean, if we had really some good affair to go, I would ask somebody to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
Go, you know, but I didn't like to do it.
Yeah.
This is my job, my responsibility. Mm-hmm. This is what I do.
I don't think you gave us the name of your youngest daughter. I believe we have the name of the
first
two.
You're right.
The youngest
Meryl.
Daughter, we don't have a name.
Meryl. She lives in New York.
Uh-huh. And her last name?
Meryl
That's funny.
Chassan. C-H-A-S-S-A-N.
And I'm not quite certain that we have the names. I know we have Trudy's first name, but I don't think we have her last name.
Horowitz.
Horowitz. And Sharon's last name?
Schwab.
Schwab, that's right. Mm-hmm. And Trudy lived...
I can tell you, my Mahut and Schwab, he just died about a month ago. He was one of the top librarians. He was in Milwaukee. Yeah. Madison, Wisconsin. In Madison, Wisconsin, he was the chief librarian for the whole county. And they wanted him in Chicago. This is one of the top jobs as a librarian. He was written up in the Who's Who, the librarian. Mm-hmm. And he taught library science.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard the name.
Schwab, he was a big man. Mm-hmm. And came to... Mm-hmm. The library.
Mm-hmm. Work.
Work. He was. Mm-hmm. He was it. Mm-hmm. And he just died about a month ago.
You told us a little bit about your wife, beside the fact she's the most beautiful Rebbitzin in town. is she involved in activities, or she involved around the home, the family?
Just
keeping you going.
I don't know, keep me going which way, but anyway, she's not too much. She's not like most Rebbitzins as far as certain things involved.
Sister.
In what way?
She's not involved in the church. In fact, I don't encourage it. Stay away. Let the women do what they want. What to tell me the Bible?
Yeah, that's right.
Where were you? Do you remember where you were when the State of Israel was born?
She goes in
48.
I was right by that time in Valdosta, Georgia.
What was the feeling of the town? Of course, it was just a small group of Jews there. Did they have any particular feelings about it?
Well, I'm sure everybody was happy about it. After all, establishment of a Jewish homeland. And they were all happy. This is a long time ago. Valdosta, at that time, didn't have too many Jewish families. We had about 55 families. But in Valdosta itself, maybe close to 30 families we had. Mm. Quitman, Georgia. You know Quitman?
Sure, Quitman, sure.
Quitman, Georgia. We had Cordele, Moultrie. Moultrie at that time, I think, had maybe 4 or 5 families. Say they have a shul and they have hundreds of people. Did you know that? In Moultrie.
No.
And we had Thomasville, the whole area. This was the only shul.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice a difference between the Jews living down south and the Jews, say, living back east here? Was there a difference in the Jewish people themselves? How they acted to things, how they felt, their warmth, their Judaism, their friendliness? How did they feel? Was there a difference in... of course, you were just there 3 years.
4 years.
4 years.
Well, everything sort of... revolved around the shul. This was it. This was the focal point.
In the south.
In the south. And we used to have Friday night services, and I had people come from Quitman, Georgia, which is 18 miles away. We had, I forgot the name of the town. There was another town there. They used to come down to the services. People there, unfortunately, the Americans, you see, what happened, the small town, they always had problems having the rabbi. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them lived in the outlying areas. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get into to Hebrew school. And then the people who lived in town, once a week or twice a week was the most for an hour. And you couldn't do anything about it. I wanted to give them as much time as they want. They had to play football and everything. And so the kids grew up with very little knowledge about me. When I was down there, I wasn't even how to down. The main thing was the sermon. Yeah. Like in a church, a Protestant church. The main thing, the highlight of the service is the sermon. This is my son. And that was my first job. And that wasn't too much experience. But anyway, I worked all week.
Yeah. A long week.
I worked all week to prepare a sermon. It wasn't easy. Because, you know, I didn't have experience, and this is what they came for.